In the name of Jesus, amen. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. Do you know what this means, brothers and sisters? It means, among all the many things that could be said on the ascension of our Lord, is that the one who will come to judge the living and the dead is the same one, the exact same one, the exact same one who ascended into heaven. The exact same one who said at the greatest moment in human history, the moment toward which everything looked from the fall into sin, when all creation for millennia had groaned in eager expectation as the Son of God in the flesh, arms outstretched, said, "It is finished." The greatest moment in human history. This same Jesus, who stretched out his arms and who moments before had said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," is the same one who is raised, the same one who ascended, and the same one who will return. And that, dear friends, in this world that is really rightfully called a shadow of death, that is profoundly and wonderfully comforting. Because the truth of the matter is, I cannot speak for everywhere in the world, but we can certainly speak for where we live. In our culture, we live in a shadow of death, although we run from it as fast as we can, don't we? We don't like to go to funerals, most people. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to see sickness, and you may say, "Well, this is just those outside the church," but search your hearts. I know I see it from my parishioners every day, even in myself. Our people don't like to go to nursing homes. Why? Sure, it's because we're lazy sometimes, but at the core, we don't like to go and see those whom we love because we are terrified of death. We don't want to face it. People avoid funerals. They avoid talking about it. They spend thousands of dollars plastering their faces and doing all sorts of things to avoid it. We are terrified of it. And yet, all of us must face it. Outside the church and inside the church, all of us face the grave. And that grave calls everyone to task, to the reality and the beauty of this day. Because you face the grave really with two options. One really not viable, and the other really the only wonderful viable alternative. The one is that we are just food for worms. We are part of a long evolutionary cycle, and we live and we die and we go to the grave, and that's it. But even those outside the church know deep down, that cannot be. Because when you dare to go to a friend's funeral or a loved one's funeral, I ask, why are you sad? Is it just because the person that you love or your friend is not there? Or is there something deeper? Is there something deep in your soul that says, when you attend a funeral, when someone dies, that says, "It was not supposed to be like this"? Isn't that what it is deep down? And thus the alternative. We all face death. And if we face death, and there is more than simply a grave, there is a God before whom we will give account. And the question thus, and that's really the question that I think everybody runs from, they don't want to give account. And how are you going to give account? And either you're going to give account on that day on the basis of how good you are, how well you've got it all together. And again, I think deep down, everyone knows that they don't have it all together, and that is why we flee. The only real alternative, the alternative that the Christian church presents to us, the alternative, viable, wonderful, holy, and true as it is that the Son of God came in the fullness of time to bear our sins and be our Savior. That this Son of God forgives through his death and resurrection, and he will come again. And if you face that, this same Jesus who offered himself, this same Jesus who rose, this same Jesus who will come again, you should not be afraid to stand before him, believing in him, because he said on that cross, perfect blood coursing through his veins, he said, "It is finished." And as he had said moments before, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Brothers and sisters, the scriptures are clear that baptism buries and raises you with him, and that if you have been united with him in a death like this, you will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. And therefore, you have literally, truly, wonderfully nothing to be afraid of. And that means on this Ascension Day, as you ponder your loved ones in nursing homes and far away, don't be afraid to see them. Don't be afraid to comfort others. And perhaps now you are burdened thinking about this. "I haven't talked to my grandmother, my mother, or whomever in a while." Perhaps you are convicted by this. Do you know how easy it is to write a letter if you can't be there? Do you know how easy it is in these days, in this wonderful place, to hook up a microphone to a computer and create a CD? Just of your family sitting around the dinner table, do you know how wonderful that would be for one of your beloved to hear your voices just having breakfast? That is wonderful. Don't be afraid. Follow him. Do it. My friends, in a moment you will come to this altar. And the same Jesus who died and rose, who ascended, brings his presence to you, and with his body and blood, as it were, coursing through your veins, you will walk away changed, forgiven, with the voice of Christ bidding you, "Come, take up your cross and follow me. Be my witnesses to Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.